What About Vietnam?
What About Vietnam? A podcast with Kerry Newsom.
So much to see and do.
What About Vietnam?
Everything you need to know before you go. Let Kerry pave the way for an amazing holiday in Vietnam.
What About Vietnam?
Xin chào and welcome to the What About Vietnam podcast. As much as I love interviewing all kinds of guests on my show, occasionally it's a real treat to be the guest on someone else's show. And that's what today's program is all about. Amongst us podcasters, we kind of call this a pod swap. It's about sharing another podcaster's show. Now, this gives you the opportunity to view Vietnam and travel to Vietnam from a whole new perspective. It's where I am the guest, and of course our topic is travel in Vietnam. Malcolm Teasdale is the very generous host of the Travel Addict podcast, where he talks to all kinds of people and explores travels all over the world, not just Vietnam. So it's a chance for you to actually listen to a whole new program. Malcolm heralds from the UK, so hello to all my UK listeners. And you might really relate to Malcolm, as while he has travelled to Vietnam previously and really enjoyed his stay, he thought it was time for an update to hear just how Vietnam has evolved and changed post-COVID. My thanks to Malcolm for asking me to come on the show. It was an absolute delight and I hope you get a lot out of it. So let's roll to the pod swap of the Travel Addict program. Thank you.
Greetings, everybody. This is a Travel Addict podcast where you can hear candid stories and discussions about business and adventure travel from around the world, with activities such as trekking, diving, camping, driving, cruising, and just plain chilling out somewhere. We talk about lots of experiences in places all over the world, including the grand, the remote, the edgy, the risque, and ones of questionable merit. Education, fulfillment, and wonder enrich our lives. And of all the books in the world, the best stories are found between the pages of a passport. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. Malcolm Teasdale here, the Travel Addict. Hope everyone is doing well. Today with me is Kerry. And Kerry Newsom, that is, and she's from the wonderful city of Sydney, Australia. And by the way, folks, if you haven't been to Sydney before, you got to get there because it is one of my favorite cities on the planet. Melbourne's good as well, and so is a bit further north, I think it's Brisbane, but Sydney is great. So that's where Kerry is speaking to me from, and it's early morning there. Hi, Kerry, you're awake over there?
Yes, I'm awake, Malcolm. I'm here, Brighton. Ready to roll.
Okay. Are you drinking some tea or coffee yet?
Oh, I've already had a couple of shots of coffee, I've got to admit.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Well, folks, a little bit about Kerry before we get going here. She's had a travel and marketing background for a long time. But she is an expert on the country of Vietnam. Now, this piqued my interest because I've been there myself a couple of times. And, you know, she's... Vietnam is sort of in the neighborhood, if you wish. So she's been there regularly over the last 14 years. She loves the country, she loves the people, and she likes sharing her stories, which we're going to talk about today. Okay. And if anyone's got any questions about Vietnam, check her website out, which we'll go over that later on. So it's good to have you here, Kerry.
And it's an absolute pleasure.
All right. So let's start off. Because you've been to Vietnam a lot of times, do you speak the language?
Oh, this is tragic. This is a very tragic story. I am terrible at it, absolutely terrible. The tone is quite difficult. I mean, it's one of the hardest languages in the world, I believe, to conquer. And there's nothing kind of logical about it. You can't, you know how you can travel in other places around the world and, you know, you can kind of figure it out what you think it means. But no. So I have a few staple, you know, words I can use, but no, lots of hand gestures, eye contact, pointing. Yeah, that gets me through, basically, and has done all along. They're very kind to me.
I just wonder whether in Vietnam, there's Hanoi at the north and there's Ho Chi Minh at the south, do they have their own dialects, accents that I'm sure they understand each other, but, you know, sometimes wherever you go in the world, they have their own specific sayings that's common to a particular area of a country. Is that the same case in Vietnam?
From what I understand, I believe that there is some nuances between the north and the south. However, probably the biggest difference you'll get between the north and the south is in with the minority groups. So the minority groups have their own dialect and their own language. So that's probably where it differs the greatest.
Okay.
I mean, there's definitely a difference between the north and the south, and they will tell you that themselves. But to know what that is individually, I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, Vietnam does interest me a lot, having been there, but I really like the place myself. It's got a lot to offer people. Now, you've been there a number of times. Tell me about your very first visit there. That must have piqued your interest.
Yeah, I went in 2007 was my first visit, and I did what they call a food tour, and it was what we call commonly now a top-to-bottom tour. So you start at the top of the dragon spine, which is Hanoi, and you work your way down to the bottom, which is Ho Chi Minh City. So that was kind of the standard, and that's kind of the norm. But yeah, I just fell in love with it. It was a very different place to what it is now, however.
Mm. So what are the main dishes, like nasi goreng and mee goreng? Is that it?
Yeah. No, that's more Indonesian and more Thai.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got dishes like banh mi, which is the bread roll, which is piled full of pork, meats, etc., with a kind of a salad mix. And then you've got pho, which is the noodle soup. So it's a gorgeous soup that they make with a broth,
yep,
which is extremely hard to make that broth and takes hours, I might add. And then they add all different kind of flavors to that with noodles, and it's probably the most popular and most well-known dish, and that's pho, P-H-O.
Pho. Is that the correct? Yeah.
Pho.
Pho. That would have been my second guess.
That's pho. What I said about logical. Don't fly logical. No.
All right. So 2007 was your first visit there. Now, when I was reading your bio there, you obviously like the country, but you also like the people as well. So what gave you this impression, or you had a lot of respect for the people there? What is it about them that you like?
Well, Malcolm, I've done a lot of travel through Southeast Asia prior to me going to Vietnam, and certainly during the years. And I just find that the Vietnamese are just a different style. They're very welcoming. I'm a very short person. So, you know, short and white and blonde and all the rest of it. So I kind of meet them at eye level in most cases, yep, which is kind of handy. But they just have mannerisms about them that is very warm, very welcoming, and that was probably my first take. So back in 2007, I got introduced to some further aspects of the country through a lady who happens to be Australian who runs a charity there for the education of young girls. And she likewise kind of took me by the hand and introduced me to some new people, some new Vietnamese, and yeah, it just kind of flowed from there. So I have a very good relationship with the Vietnamese. I work for a Vietnamese company in Hanoi for tours, etc. We sell to travel agents, and she's just another lady who I'm very inspired by running her business. I've worked for hotel owners also in Vietnam. So, you know, for an Aussie girl in the travel industry, in a foreign Asian country,
yeah,
to be that welcome, to be that, I guess just embraced. And so, yeah, my love kind of started with them. And, you know, that includes my tailor and the the girl that I buy my jewelry from, who designs my jewelry, you know, through to the girl who does cooking lessons with, you know, like it's kind of all over the place. But yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, I found them very friendly as well, I must admit. Yeah, definitely welcoming. Now, if you had to pick, I mean, there's obviously the main cities, Hanoi in the north, Ho Chi Minh in the south, and there's obviously big towns or cities down the coastline there. What would you class, if any, as your favorite city out of them all?
Well, I think it would have to be Hoi An. And Hoi An is based in central Vietnam. It's a beautiful old town which dates back to the 16th century. So, you know, it's just got a beautiful ambience about it. It's situated on a river, but you've also got access to a beautiful beach. So it's just rich with culture. It's got that kind of spice trade feel to it. So you've got the influences of Portuguese, Chinese, Japanese bridge. You've got, it's just magical. You'd swear to God it kind of got lost in time. So you've got the old shop houses, you've got that old feel with the lanterns. It's just delightful. And I know, Malcolm, you mentioned something about the traffic of Vietnam before we started. So if you want to take that down a peg or two, quite dramatically, Hoi An is nowhere near as busy as those major cosmopolitan cities, which they are cosmopolitan now. So Hoi An is, you know, is a much more restful kind of place that you can, you know, just take it back more a notch and really, really relax and do those kind of things. So, yeah, it's probably where I've spent the most time also, like long stays. You can easily stay there for a month and still have plenty to do.
Okay, it's great. You know, talking of traffic, I know, when I was in Hanoi, I stayed at a place called the Silk Path Hotel, I think. It was down in the city center. But talk about birth by fire. I remember just down the street from where that hotel was, I had to cross the street there, busy intersection. And what I found out quickly is that you start to cross the road, keep walking, because the people on the bikes, scooters, and cars will avoid you, right? But if you're crossing the road, don't stop or turn around, right?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Yeah. I learned my lesson quickly because keep going. It's funny that because, the traffic in Hanoi is pretty chaotic, but it's quite a vibrant city. And of course, they have in Hanoi, which I was very fortunate to be able to go to, is a Hanoi Hilton, right? Which was the prison where John McCain was stationed. No, he was there. He stayed there for quite some time. But there's also a Hilton Hotel just down the street from the Hanoi Hilton, right? But I was surprised how that prison is quite small in its size. But anyway, it's a great thing to see. There's a lot of history there and cool things to do. So you talk about Hoi An. Okay, well, we'll touch on that later on because I have a reason to go over that. And now, the country itself, if you looked at it, it's a pretty stable place now, isn't it? And there's no trouble there. You feel safe.
Absolutely, Malcolm. And I do a lot of travel myself on my own. So, you know, this is another reason why I think I took to Vietnam so well and so quickly was that I always felt safe traveling around. So, yes, very, very safe in Vietnam.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter what city, you just have that feeling that you'd walk around even at night, you're going to be just perfectly fine. So,
Look, you know, like, you know, you're a traveler, so, you know, you have to put your common sense head on, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously in the bigger cities like Ho Chi Minh and Hanoi, you've got a really different mix of people. It's a major city now. So like any major city in the world, you know, there is some areas that you probably don't go down late at night and, you know, some you can. So it's just applying common sense.
Now, I've heard of people doing this before and it piqued my interest a few years ago. I don't know if I'd do it today, but there's this, what we call the coastline tour where you can fly into Hanoi and rent a car or a motorbike and drive down the coastline to Ho Chi Minh. Now, have you done that, or do you know someone who's done that?
Well, Vietnam's one of these unusual places in the sense that you yourself can't personally hire a car. There's no rental car companies that you can hire and drive yourself. It's not legally available. However, you can do tours where you get a driver that can drive you from A to B. I don't know many that do that trip, and that's more for the case of how much time it takes up, because as you know, it's a long, skinny country. Some of the roads aren't so great.
Right.
So they're a little bit rickety, not so great on the back, and, you know, very, very long stretches.
Yeah.
And so you would be chewing up a lot of time on the road, but you could, and a lot of people elect to do solo trips or trips with a group, and they probably do it more on a motorbike. So you can hire a motorbike.
Yeah.
And I just want to kind of mention for your listeners that hiring a motorbike does require you to already have a license in your own country.
Yeah.
Although there are opportunities for you to do that without having a license. However, if you come off it is another story. And
yeah. I would never trust myself. If I had a motorbike years ago, well, I'd be dead by now. So I wouldn't trust myself to do that. But I think it'd be a great adventure for someone a little younger to do that, who likes riding.
Oh, and there is. Yes, absolutely. And a lot of people love the motorbike experience. And as you say, you've got to be young and hardy and adventurous and, to do that, because there is there's some tricky kind of areas, and just understanding the mode of traffic and the mode of travel amongst Vietnamese. There is some nuances. They kind of, it's like organized chaos in some places, as you know, and you've got to get into that groove. You probably will be riding at a slower speed.
Right.
You know, you'll notice those bikes that you were trying to cross the road, they're probably only doing about 30 or 40 k's an hour in the cities. But a lot of people, a lot of young people certainly take their bikes and do some of the highlands areas in North Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So up into Ha Giang and Sapa and places like that.
Yeah.
And the views are just amazing. Like, that's where all the Instagram photos are taken, Mai Chau and all those kind of regions are absolutely glorious. But, the trip from north to south is very doable, and you've got the coastline to see. And, there's 3,800 kilometres of coastline, so it's pretty amazing.
And you'll probably do it in, 2 weeks, stopping over places?
At least a couple of weeks,
Okay. Now, one of the places that I've always wanted to visit, and this is what I'm considering later on this year, by the way, I don't know if it'll come off, is Ha Long Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'd have to fly into Hanoi Airport for that. And this looks an absolutely just beautiful place to go and visit. Have you been there?
Many times, yes.
And what's your
opinion on that? The Ha Long Bay is about 2 hours drive from Hanoi, and they've just put in a freeway a few years ago, so it makes the trip much quicker. It used to take about 4 hours to get there. So Ha Long Bay is one of about three bays that are joined together. So the most popular are Ha Long Bay and Lan Ha Bay.
Okay.
Ha Long Bay is probably and because you're sitting in the US and, you know, a Brit, et cetera, you probably would have seen more promotion for Ha Long Bay over the years rather than Lan Ha Bay. But it's an idyllic place in the sense that it's like these mountains just spring up out of the ocean or out of the water. And it's very serene. It's very quiet. It's very beautiful. Lan Ha is quieter than Ha Long Bay, but you know, you would go there and you would go on a cruise ship or a junk or whatever, and you might possibly stay the night.
I was going to say that you can stay on junk, can't you?
Yes, and I suggest you do.
There's cheaper ones, but there's very upscale ones as well, isn't there? Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a really lovely experience. They take you to the limestone caves.
Yeah.
You'll stop in a small village. You might do a little bicycle ride around. You might get some kayaks. You might, you know, have a little paddle around. But if you stay the night, you get to see the sunrise. And sunrise from the deck overlooking into the water is divine. So, yeah, I would strongly urge you to do an overnight stay if you can. It's not expensive in world-class standards. So I urge you to do that. But probably, you know, your 2 days or, you know, 1.5 days is enough for Ha Long Bay.
Mm-hmm. And I could probably find someone to pick me up at the airport there and drive
Absolutely.
Me over. Yeah. Now, anyone out there, just Google Ha Long Bay and you see what I mean. It's quite spectacular. Are the islands just limestone islands, are they?
Yes. Sure. Yeah. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Right.
And it's as I said, that they look like they've just little mountains. They've just kind of sprung up out of the water, and they're just kind of dotted around, and it's just quite unusually beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, further south, centrally located is the city of Da Nang, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and what you mentioned before, Hoi An is just what, south of there, is it?
Yes, about 25 minutes from Da Nang. Hoi An is south.
What I looked at is actually, if I did this flying out of Singapore, Singapore Airlines has direct flights to Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh, and Da Nang.
Correct.
So it's easy to get, not Hoi An, by the way, but that would be just fine. Connections are a bit challenging because after you overnight in Singapore, that's not a problem at all. The main cities then are Da Nang, Hoi An, Ho Chi Minh, and Nha Trang. And Nha Trang, it was last time I went to Vietnam, I went to Nha Trang because I do scuba diving, Kerry. So I went to Nha Trang just for that. And it was actually first-class scuba diving there.
Yes.
The dive company was excellent and went to the harbor and sailed out to this wonderful site. And I really enjoyed that. And I just remember staying in Nha Trang, scuba diving, and I found an Irish pub there. It was called the Jolly Leprechaun. So I thought, oh, I feel at home here. And that's where the Brits I met hung out. And they said, well, they wanted to move over to Asia, but they thought about Thailand, obviously, and Cambodia and Vietnam. And they settled on Vietnam. And they're so happy they made that decision. This guy I spoke to, he's been there a number of years and he absolutely loves it.
Yes, you'll find, look, the Irish, the Brits, US, Aussies, are everywhere in Vietnam, and they love it. I mean, prior to COVID, the ability to live in Vietnam was a lot easier. There was a lot of ways people chose to make that transition, some more like semi-permit and then some kind of really investing. Some people met Vietnamese and married them and, you know, that gave them the opportunity to stay. But since COVID, the Vietnam government has changed its mind a little bit and wants there's a few more rigors to go through to get the status to become a resident of Vietnam. Yeah. It's not quite as easy as it used to be.
Yeah, okay.
But Nha Trang also was highly geared to the tourist. So also during COVID, I don't know about your Irish pub, Malcolm, it might not be there any longer.
Oh, really?
Because it really got hit. And likewise, it was a city that over time became very popular with the Russians.
I was going to say there was a lot of Russians there when I was there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, because they were kind of heading to the sun, and as you say, beautiful beaches and diving. I actually had on my program Jeremy Stein that runs the Paddy Diving company that you possibly use to do your diving. Yeah. So Nha Trang is a beautiful place, but because it was so highly geared to the tourist and the international tourist during COVID, it has really suffered. And it went nuts in a boom kind of just leading up to COVID. So like 2018, it was tracking really high for the international tour. So there's like whole new major resorts and all sorts of things. I've actually got a guy coming on my show in a couple of weeks' time who has had a lot to do with the marketing and work with Vietnam Tourism Board, et cetera, based in Nha Trang. So I'm keen to get a bit of an update on that because, it got hit hard during COVID. But, Vietnam, as you may not be aware, is a very resilient country and I know it will come back, but it'll still be there for you, Malcolm, if you want to go back and revisit. Okay. And there's beautiful diving sites all over Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And now, I don't know the visa status. For me, In the past, I needed a visa, but again, it depends. And the expats that live there, the requirements are, as you mentioned, are probably different a little bit today, but maybe an investment or you can get a residency for maybe if you're a digital nomad or something, you get residency for there. But I tell you something, it's a decent place to live and it's the cost of living is reasonable as well, right? So it's
absolutely.
Yeah. And that's another attraction. And plus it's safe. I think the healthcare system is reasonable as well. So all these things are positive. So visa requirements may have changed. Now, on my program on the Travel Addict podcast, probably a few weeks ago, I had a gentleman who did live in Vietnam for a period of time. I can't recall how long, but we all remember the Vietnam War. Okay. He told me that the locals in Vietnam call it the American War.
Correct.
Okay. That's the first time I heard that, but yeah, they call it the American War. We don't need to go into it. That's the first time I've heard that, but it sort of makes sense. So, I know a few people who are in that.
I mean, probably, I think it's about 47 years on.
Yeah.
It is referenced as the American War, rightly or wrongly. I think that's just because Vietnam has a long history of wars and it had. The Chinese, the exactly. French. So I think it was just, their way of differentiating one from the other. And I think what's most interesting these days is that the youth of Vietnam are really not aware or taught in their schools or, they don't get history lessons about their own country and about the wars they've been in. So if you're talking to an elderly person in Vietnam, they're going to have much more to say about it than, the youth of Vietnam. And Vietnam is a very young, growing, vibrant country now. So, they're not into looking back too much, the youth of Vietnam. They're into moving forward. There's plenty of museums and they're very well put together to tell the stories. So,
I've looked at some pictures of Da Nang and one that comes to mind is, I think it's pictured in your website, is the bridge that has that dragon.
Dragon. Mm-hmm.
That's spectacular,
It's amazing. It's a feat of ingenuity, really. And on a Saturday and a Sunday night, all the locals gather around that bridge because it actually breathes fire.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
Between, I think it's like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Obviously it's dark. And so this fire comes out and the kids love it and everybody gets excited, et cetera. So it's a bit of a fun thing to do. People go and get kind of snack food and sit up with little red chairs and stuff. And that's a kind of a Saturday or Sunday night thing to do.
Terrific. But
quite spectacular. It's actually like those photos. It looks like that. I've been there.
I saw a YouTube video on it actually. But there's also another, something else that's spectacular there. I think it's Da Nang. It's like a walkway that's high up. I don't know if it's in the mountains, but it's high up and it's looked like it's suspended by hands. Like Stonehenge.
The Handbridge, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so the Handbridge is located in Barna Hills. So about an hour out of Da Nang,
yeah.
You go to what was originally a French retreat in the mountains.
Okay.
So you go to the base of the mountain and you catch a cable car to the top. And it's a 5-kilometer cable car and takes about 20, 25 minutes to actually reach the top.
Yeah.
And Sunland own it, and it's actually a theme park. But the theme park is based on what it was originally. So it's got like French cobble streets and old French, you know, you'd swear to God you're in a little country village in France. It's that well done. But over into another part of the mountain, they built this, what they call the Golden Hand Bridge. So yeah. It is suspended in those hands, those yeah. rock hands. And, it is amazingly spectacular. It's, once again, Vietnam has these kind of feats of engineering, which are just kind of staggering.
That's what I was going to say. It's amazing, some of the stuff that they built, you know.
Mm.
Amazing feats of engineering. It's a terrific thing to see. And, of course, yeah, there's
very popular.
Video. So excellent. Now, you have a website called What About Vietnam, right?
And correct.
You have a podcast. I've sold you many of your podcasts, but if people are interested to know more about Vietnam before they take the plunge to go out there, they can contact you, can they?
Correct. Absolutely. You can contact me through the website. I've got a message board. You can send me a message and I'm happy to answer any questions. Or you can follow me on any of my social pages as well.
Okay. I know you're on Instagram. What about Vietnam podcast? Okay.
Correct.
I listened to a couple of minutes before we went on the air. Well, it's good. I have to listen to a bit more actually. So you've got that going on, and you're on Facebook as well, but your website's actually very well done. Great pictures. And of course, that's when I saw the bridge there with the dragon going through it. You said earlier that you've been to other places in Southeast Asia. Now, aside from Vietnam, where have you been to?
I've been to Hong Kong. I've been to Thailand. I've been to Bali. I've been to Myanmar. I've been to Laos. I've been to Cambodia. Have I missed anywhere? Singapore.
Yeah.
Sri Lanka. India. I think that does it. Yeah.
Yeah. But in a way that they're all great places to visit. When you went to Laos, by the way, did you go to north into Luang Prabang or just in?
I love Luang Prabang. Absolutely love that place. I'm going back again.
That's gorgeous.
Delightful.
Yeah.
That is gorgeous. Well, that city, if you remember that, if you've been, it's got some elements of it that are a little bit like Hoi An. Yeah. In Vietnam. So if you like Hoi An, you'll like Luang Prabang. If you like Luang, vice versa.
I like the vibe there. It was just nice to walk
very
around.
Very nice vibe.
I just sat having a cup of tea in the afternoon where the Nam Khan and Mekong River made. It was just so peaceful, you know. It's fabulous. We'll be back in Thailand in November, but I'm going over to Phuket. I'm going to do a bit of diving and then ultimately going to, and you may have heard of this, scuba diving. So it's quite famous, Raja Ampat in Indonesia. Fly out of Jakarta, then it's about 4-hour flight to the island of Sarong, and then it's about 2 hours boat ride into that area. But it's a marine park. It's a national treasure. It's one of the best diving places in the world. So wow. I'm doing it while I can. You know, I should have gone there 2 years ago, but I couldn't because of COVID. So I'm fulfilling that need. But I'm a great fan of Southeast Asia because all over, you know, you mentioned this about Vietnam as well. All over, I just find the people very welcoming. For people out there who don't speak, who worry about the language barrier, I didn't have a problem with language. Yeah, I went to Beijing. There was a language barrier there, but typically, you know, Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, there hasn't been really, for me, at least a language problem. So that's really nothing to be worried about.
No, definitely not. I mean, you'll certainly find it a little bit difficult in the more remote areas.
Sure.
Where, you know, you're not getting a lot of tourists. But, you know, these countries are used to receiving a lot of visitors, so they've adapted very well in understanding us international tourists that, you know, are kind of pointing to this and shaking our heads and nodding and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, you can get away with blue murder in most cases or whatever. So, just more in the remote areas that you'll struggle.
Yeah. It's funny because I live in Florida, the United States, and, you know, I travel a lot, and I mentioned some of the places I've been to in Asia. And there's another one, if you haven't been there, Kerry, Bhutan.
I haven't been to Bhutan, but I went to Myanmar in 2020, just before the pandemic broke out, and obviously before the troubles of recent times. Yeah. And I thought, now I need to go to Bhutan after this because I feel like it's got a similar kind of vibe to it. So, yes.
Yeah, it's similar to a degree, but obviously if you go there, trek up to Tiger's Nest Monastery. It'll be terrific for you to do that. And, Myanmar, you stayed in Yangon, did you, while you were there?
Yes, I did Yangon. I did Bagan as well and did the hot air balloons across all the pagodas, etc. was just stunning. And then went down into the inlet. Oh, what do you call it?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of that.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just an amazing area. We did about 2.5 weeks there. I just I feel so sad for the people of Yangon and Myanmar.
Yeah.
With what's been going on. But I understand it's recently just opened up again. Yeah. So hopefully they'll bring some steadiness to the political situation there so people will want to go back.
Well, I hope so. In fact, on my show, probably a couple of months ago, I had someone called Leah Badgley, and she was born and raised in Myanmar, actually in Yangon. And then she went to work for the Tuol Sleng Museum in Cambodia to bring some of the criminals to justice there. So she was just outside of Phnom Penh. But she told me all about her life in Yangon, and she absolutely loved it. So she wants to go back there, I think. So I can understand that, you know. That's what keeps taking me back there. I've been going back to the place yearly. You know, so it's great. So anyway, Kerry, won't keep me much longer, but you got anything else to say if people want to get hold of you or anything you'd like to mention?
Just a little bit, if I may, Malcolm, about What About Vietnam in the sense of the podcast. I put together the website because I wanted to have a resource for people to be able to go. And, you know, people can search by destination. They can search by topic. I do a transcript of each of the interviews that I do. So you can print that off as a PDF. And some people use that to, you know, get their highlighter pen out and jot down some notes. I'm really keen to, you know, receive any inquiries from your listeners that, you know, they want to know about Vietnam. As I said, I'll be back again in September. Yay. And
great.
So just really want to thank you also for inviting me on the show. You're doing a great job and can totally understand you being a travel addict. I'm right with you there.
Yeah.
So, I know. Yeah.
But, so excellent.
I'm sure you'll put the links and all that sort of stuff in.
Yeah, of course we'll. And I'll tell you something. We travel because we want to, because there will come a time when we won't be able to, you know that? And
absolutely.
And we're going to have all these great memories to look back on. And that's okay.
Can I point you to a show I did with a guy named Jeremy Stein? And he started diving businesses and paddy diving instruction in Vietnam 25 years ago. He's a POM. And I did an episode with him, and he was just so knowledgeable about diving in Nha Trang and Phu Qua. And he mentioned several places, Whale Island and all these great spots. So, you know, if you want to put your diving hat on, Malcolm, have a listen to that one and maybe have a look at the transcript, because I think you'll find it really interesting. 25 years ago he started.
That's amazing. And you said he's a Pommy, right?
And he's a Pom. Yep, through and through.
And for people who are listening here who don't understand what hell that is, it's prisoners of Mother England, right?
Is that what it means? I never knew that.
Yes. Of course.
Prisoners of Mother England. Yeah. Oh, wow. Where have I been?
Australia was a penal colony for the bad guys out of Britain. And, of course, I love the Australians. I love their sense of humour. I have some good friends down in that area of the country. So it's a friendly rivalry, but great. Maybe I'll get back to Sydney one day. But I tell you what, Kerry, thanks for coming on. It's been very informative. Always like talking about places that I like as well. So Vietnam is a great place. Think about it, everyone. Take a trip over there if you get an opportunity. Thanks, Kerry.
Thanks very much, Malcolm.
Take care. Bye-bye. Many thanks for joining me today. This is Malcolm Teasdale signing off. Before I do, please check out my website, malcolmjteasdale.com, for more information about my travels around the world. Okay, folks. Talk to you later. Bye for now. Stay safe.